everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health. I'm a naturopathic doctor, and as always, this is an opportunity to have some wonderful, in-depth conversations with leading authors, practitioners, people right there on the cutting edge of the kind of information that will really make a difference to you and to those you love. Now, before we have another wonderful show, I want to make the announcement to anyone listening in the New York metropolitan area, or if you've got relatives or friends or colleagues that are in the New York metropolitan area, I want you to know that I will be journeying into the Big Apple. That's right, twice a year I venture into the city, and I will be lecturing on Saturday, May 11th, at the Natural Gourmet Institute. I come in twice a year to do a fantastic seminar. It's a three-hour seminar. It's from 2 to 5 on that Saturday, and it's all about hormones. It's all about the truth regarding our hormones. It's all about the solutions for everything related to our hormonal health and well-being for all ages. So it's a phenomenal experience. I have some of the most leading-edge information and practical solutions out there. So if you really want the day to reveal to you what are the missing pieces to your hormonal well-being puzzle, and by the way, a whole lot more, because hormones are really connected to everything else going on with our body, and everything else going on with our body is impacting our hormones, and that's what we're going to be talking about. But specifically, we're going to be addressing a lot of issues such as PMS, ovarian cysts, fibroids, endometriosis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, infertility, bone loss, hot flashes, night sweats, insomnia, depression, everything we need to do in our postmenopausal years to rejuvenate and regenerate ourselves, how to lose weight, the ultimate holy grail for weight loss. I've got phenomenal information, and I'm so excited about being able to share it with everyone. So check in with the Natural Gourmet Institute. You can check on the schedule programmings that they offer and come along. And it's always great to meet people who I have been having this radio communication with. So it's good to see people in the flesh. That's happening May 11th, Saturday, at the Natural Gourmet Institute. It's on 21st between 5th and 6th, I believe. So great location, and I guarantee it will absolutely transform your life and your health. So there you go. How can you refuse an offer like that? I also want to talk about other ways that I am able to transform your health and well-being and your hormones, and that's by opting into my website, whatwomenmustknow.com. It's a great portal for information. You get free special reports when you opt into my list. You get all sorts of other articles that I've written, videos, great educational material. And then you can also like me at my Facebook page, which, of course, is What Women Must Know, because I post several times a day all sorts of phenomenal information, research, strategies, recipes, all sorts of things that I come across that I think really will help all of us to gain more insight, more knowledge, and more practical strategies to get our life to work, particularly when it comes to our health and well-being. And it's not just restricted to women, by the way. Great information there for men as well. So hopefully you'll take advantage of all these things that are on the table for you here. I know that that's how I transformed my health and my life, by stepping outside of the box, learning more, being open to other possibilities, and as a result, to all the health issues that I had been suffering with and plagued by are gone. So I am in better health now than I've ever been my entire life. So there you go. If I can do it, anybody can do it. You just have to get more knowledgeable, and you have to have the commitment to make the changes, whatever the cost. And what are your options anyway? That's what we ultimately have to do. So anyway, enough of that. I want to talk about my topic that we'll be exploring today. You know, we live in a world that we know is saturated with sugar, sugar, sugar. What is it, 175 pounds of that toxic stuff? We know sugar pervades every aspect of our food supply. And, gosh, it's found in pharmaceutical drugs as well. We know that sugar is a toxic, addictive food and is damaging to every aspect of our health. So what are we to do? You know, sweetness is one of those tastes that, according to Chinese medicine, we need. But what can we use as an option, as an alternative option? Is there a healthy option that actually will not spike our blood sugar, will not generate inflammation, will not feed our cancer cells, and not rot our teeth? That's the question, and we have the answer, because in fact there is a not only safe sweetener, but there is a sweetener that has profound research, all sorts of evidence to show that it is one of the very powerful healing substances we can and should be taking in on a daily basis. So what we are talking about is my favorite natural sweetener called xylitol. And we're going to be talking with a dentist, Dr. John Peldiak, who is one of the experts all about xylitol. And he has been in private general practice since 1980. He is a member of the Professor Claudio Machian's University of Michigan Research Group, investigating sugar substitutes. And Dr. Peldiak is the author of Sweet Smart, along with numerous articles about sweeteners and dental health. And he is a founding member of the American Academy of Oral Systemic Health. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. So first of all, let me welcome Dr. Peldiak to the show. Hello.
Oh, hello, Dr. Selman. It's always great to talk to you. I learn a lot whenever I listen to you. And it all fits together, too, because I hope that's what we can talk about today is what you like to stress is what are some practical ways that we can empower ourselves, because this is really about self-help and improving our oral health, and that's where it all begins, really, with right up front with everything we consume.
Absolutely, and I've been writing about xylitol. It's over 10 years now. I use this every day, and we're going to talk about why this is such a phenomenal healing substance, and why I hope by the end of our conversation, everyone's going to be running out and getting xylitol and start incorporating it in its many forms in their diet and as sweets and treats and sweeteners and oral rinses and nasal rinses. So we have a lot to talk about. So how should we begin? First, maybe we should just start by defining what xylitol is.
Well, xylitol is a natural sweetener. It's found in nature, throughout nature, in fruits and berries. We eat some every day. And even if we don't consume any, our metabolism will generate about a tablespoon's worth of xylitol as a metabolic intermediate, because we have to have these certain specialty sugars in our system, these five carbon sugars. They have five carbon atoms instead of six is what we usually get in the regular sugar molecule. In different sugars, they're mostly based on a six carbon saccharide unit. That's the bulk of our diet. These five carbon sugars only have five carbon atoms per molecule, and they're used in small amounts, but they're absolutely essential for our health. For instance, you've talked before about ribose sugar for heart energy, It's a five-carbon sugar on the same metabolic pathway that xylitol can enter. So it's not needed in large amounts, maybe about in the range of a teaspoon to a tablespoon a day, but it's important structural material for our, for instance, our genetic material, our DNA. for our protein synthesis, our RNA molecule, is ribose nucleic acid. And this is the same pathway that xylitol is on, also a detoxification pathway, which unfortunately humans can't make vitamin C, but it's that same pathway. So we need a small amount of these specialty sugars, these uncommon sugars, and xylitol is part of that group. The other thing that makes xylitol unique, besides being a little bit smaller molecule than the other sugars that we eat, is that it doesn't have a reactive group in it. In other words, that double bond oxygen carbonyl group, which is a very reactive, highly reactive. So xylitol doesn't participate in reactions the same way that other sugar molecules do. So xylitol is considered in chemical classification a polyol or sugar alcohol, but think of it as a close cousin of sugar with those important differences. It's smaller for one thing and it's less reactive for another. And this leads to a host of specialty characteristics. And for our benefit, we see xylitol in dental use as really being an antidote for the amounts of regular sugars, the common sugars that we eat. Xylitol can actually undo the damage that we get from regular sugar.
You know, that's a really powerful statement that you just made. Xylitol can undo the harm that regular sugar, and when we say regular sugar, and I think this is important to make some distinctions, because there are a lot of sugars out there that are promoted as being healthy, but they fall into the 6-carbon category, and I know most people never heard of 6-carbon, and I don't want anyone's eyes glazing over when we're talking about this, because it's really important, because just talk about what normal 6-carbon sweeteners will do to our body, especially when they're eaten in excess as they are now, and what they are. What are some of the 6-carbon sugar forms?
Right. Well, first of all, we can separate out the fibrous type carbohydrates, which are also based on the 6-carbon unit, but they're linked so tightly together that they don't really harm us. They don't harm our teeth. They're broken down slowly. They're similar to dietary fiber. We get nutrients from the complexation of these fibrous carbohydrates, so they're not a problem at all. The carbohydrates we're talking about based on 6-carbons are basically the sugary substances, the common sugars we think of as ordinary table sugar and fructose, and things that break down rapidly to sugar, such as cooked starch, which breaks down rapidly to glucose in our system. Now, our systems can tolerate quite a bit of glucose in normal conditions, depending on your metabolic and hormonal status. We can tolerate pretty large amounts of glucose, but glucose can harm the teeth. And also the fructose, we've heard a lot about fructose lately, used to be called fruit sugar, but now we get an awful lot of it in high fructose corn syrup. And that combination, the fructose and glucose together, can damage teeth. And if we get too much of the fructose sugar, it can cause metabolic havoc. So the glucose does raise our blood sugar very rapidly, and as long as our insulin system is working properly, we can tolerate some of that. But you put those combinations together, these easily broken down sugars, both the ordinary table sugar and the high fructose corn syrup, and you put that together in a fast food type diet without the fiber, without the complexation, and that's where we run into all sorts of metabolic hormonal problems, and we can see those problems starting in the teeth and the gums, which to me is amazing when you think about it, that some of the early warnings about sugar were in the 1970s. Dr. Yudkin from England had a big debate against the people who were talking about saturated fat as being the one of the basic causes of heart disease, and they went back and forth on this. But he was the first one who really said that sugar can be a toxin, and it depends on how much we're getting, in what forms we're getting, when we're getting it. And it's not necessarily bad, but in our modern society, it's become a huge problem because of the vast overconsumption, and the forms we're getting it in, such as these liquids, these sugar-sweetened beverages, which is completely disrupting our metabolism and our hormonal system. Like I say, we can see that in teeth. Dr. Yudkin said that cavities in young people is a predictor, a leading indicator of diabetes. He saw that back in the early 1960s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, look what happened to our diabetes rates since we started really over-consuming these simple sugars, the high-fructose corn syrup and the table sugars. Diabetes rates have gone up remarkably in since the 1980s when the sugar-sweetened beverages really became popular, really replaced milk and water and tea as our most popular beverages.
And I think we need to remind everyone that, you know, even if you're aware that sugar, the white stuff, is harmful, but so is the organic brown sugar. I mean, that's a six-carbon sugar. Honey is a six-carbon sugar. Even agave is a six-carbon sugar. Maple syrup is a six-carbon sugar. So all of these sugars should only be eaten in moderation, great moderation, because they are all spiking our blood sugar and potentially creating, certainly white sugar does create an addiction that's as powerful as cocaine in the brain, we have seen in research. So, these sweeteners really are, you know, if they are to be used, it's minimal because the fact that it's having such an adverse effect on so many systems, primarily by spiking blood sugar. And it just needs to be said, I just come back from an alternative cancer conference, and I've had some radio show guests talk about this, but cancer cells love sugar. And the more we spike our blood sugar, the more we increase insulin by having sugar, the more we're actually feeding cancer cells, which demand sugar and actually require sugar to function, to stay alive, to grow. So this is where we get into a lot of trouble if we're using the wrong sweetener. And that's where I want to bring us back to xylitol, because as a 5-carbon sugar, help us understand why this has a totally different response within our physiology, why this actually does not do all those things that the 6-carbon sugars do.
Right, and let me add to that a little bit, exactly what you were talking about. It's a problem of the 6-carbon sugar is a problem of overconsumption and also the pattern of consumption. Not only do we get too much, but we get it constantly. If you're sipping on a sugar-sweetened beverage, for example, you're constantly feeding that sugar into your system. And what it does is it disrupts our microbiome. It disrupts our bacteria. And there's a lot of talk of that, about the bacteria in our gut being disrupted by these overloads and these constant feedings of sugar. And, of course, the gut begins in the mouth, and we see those differences. We can see the changes that take place in the biology of the bacteria that are in the mouth and also the yeast. And the sugar feeds yeast very effectively, so it's disrupting our bacteria all the way through, beginning with the mouth. And there's a lot of talk about how the bacteria, the types of bacteria that we have, when they're disrupted, they disrupt our entire health pattern, and that includes our metabolism, our weight. If you have the wrong kind of bacteria in your gut, you're more likely to gain weight. It disrupts our hormone systems, and like I say, we can see that beginning in the teeth with the cavities and gum disease. And by the way, over three-quarters of the adult population has some form of gum disease, and tooth decay is still one of the most prevalent disease among children. So these are common diseases, and it's showing that something's wrong, and it shows that something's wrong right up front. So as you were mentioning, what sugar does is it feeds the wrong types of bacteria and microorganisms. What xylitol does is it blocks that pattern. It takes us back to a more natural pattern of bacteria, both in our mouth and in our entire digestive system. So think of the digestive system as beginning in the mouth, and we can see things happening there, and we can see improvements that take place by using xylitol to counter some of the modern foods that, we often consume. The neat thing about xylitol is you don't need a lot of it. In other words, if you ate your normal diet but just added a little bit of xylitol, xylitol can block the damage done by these easily broken down starches and simple sugars that we were talking about. The simple sugars in the mouth feed the wrong types of bacteria. They feed the acid-forming bacteria, and we like to get back the mouth back to a more neutral condition. And we can do that with xylitol. We see the difference very rapidly, too. It doesn't take very long for that to happen.
And we should say that xylitol can be taken as a powder. I always tell women, actually, that if they just switch their sugar bowl, took the sugar out, put xylitol in, which looks like sugar and tastes like sugar, no one in their family would know. It's kind of subversive activity. And so when you see your family members taking spoonfuls of sugar into their coffee or into their cereals or whatever, you know, you can just sit back and relax. Because it's good for them.
Right. And that is interesting because also the xylitol originally, the original use for it, before they discovered all these wonderful dental benefits, the original use for xylitol was as a premium sweetener in the diabetic diet. This was goes way back to World War II when xylitol first was being made in just limited quantities. And certain important people, such as the Politburo in the old Soviet Union, they had access to some of the xylitol, so they were using it because a lot of them were diabetic. Xylitol does not mess up your blood sugar. The insulin response to xylitol is more than 90% less than regular sugar. So it is an energy source. It has been used as an energy source in intravenous feeding, but at a very slow trickle of energy and a lower total calorie amount than regular sugar. So there are some metabolic effects there that are favorable. And, of course, we like xylitol because all the dental benefits that were discovered really pointed out by the early 1970s.
And, we're going to go into those dental benefits, but I have to just emphasize this amazing point. I mean, if you get very little of a spike of your blood sugar, and this is the perfect sweetener for anyone who needs to manage their insulin levels, which, by the way, happens to be all of us, but diabetics, it's actually a driving issue for them and life-threatening issue if they don't manage their blood sugar. But the fact is we all need to keep our blood sugar levels low and even, and xylitol allows us to do that and get the benefit of a sweetener, whether it's in the form of a sweetener, like a powdered form, or whether it's in the form of candies or mints or toothpaste or mouthwashes or the variety of ways that it has been incorporated into our diet.
You know, Dr. Selman, I just encountered a study that I think will astound your listeners. It boggled my mind. It was just published this month in the European Journal of Nutrition, where they found a group of students who did not drink any soda pop. And just for a four-week period, they had them drink two cans of one of those super energy drinks, which is a sugar and caffeine solution. And in just 4 weeks, that group of students, lightly active, but just normal students, age around 20, in 4 weeks, they gained over 6.6% body fat.
Wow. Wow.
And all their metabolic markers were disrupted. That means they became, their insulin receptors essentially became clogged up, and they weren't responding normally to normal amounts of insulin. That's in 4 weeks. Can you imagine what's happening to some of us if we're sitting by our computer all day drinking can after can of sugar-sweetened beverage? That's got to be taking a terrible toll on our systems.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I want to address one point before we take a break. The break's coming up, and then we're going to go into all of the phenomenal benefits to help our oral health, which is a big, big story. But the question that always comes up when I mention xylitol is this. Well, does it, you know, affect our gut? Are we going to get diarrhea? And there's some, you know, well, there are concerns about that. So can we just address that right now, and then we can move on?
Well, sure. Xylitol reacts similar to a dietary fiber in that it's very slowly absorbed, very slowly broken down. It does ferment slightly in the colon, not in the mouth at all. So there is some prebiotic activity with xylitol. It does help feed some of the more helpful bacteria in the gut, and as a side effect produces butyrate, which is considered healthy for the function of the colon. But xylitol largely is not broken down. It slowly moves through the system, but it also absorbs large amounts of water. So if you have xylitol on an empty stomach in large amounts and you're not used to it, you can build up a tolerance to it, but it can go through pretty rapidly and absorb water, and you can get some problems with your guts as far as a laxative effect from using too much xylitol in liquid on an empty stomach especially. So there's a word of caution. If you haven't used xylitol before, don't use large amounts of it. Don't use it in liquids such as lemonade, which acid-type liquids require more xylitol for the same sweetness as sugar. And that way you can avoid problems. Now, you can sip on tea or herbal teas that have a teaspoonful of xylitol in between meals. That's not going to cause any problem. But just avoid large amounts on an empty stomach especially. Generally, for dental purposes, we just need small amounts of xylitol. It's not going to affect anyone adversely. We've even used xylitol with children as young as, 6 months old and had no adverse effects from it.
And we should mention that dogs should never be eating sugar of any kind of sweetener
right.
at all.
And unlike humans, dogs will have an insulin reaction to xylitol, so it will drop their blood sugar very rapidly. That does not happen in humans. It's specific to dogs and possibly even certain breeds of dogs and sizes. If they do get into some xylitol by accident, give them a source of sugar right away to help get their blood sugar back to normal. So just keep it away from dogs. It's not food for dogs, just like they should avoid other sugars, as you mentioned, chocolate and raisins and things like that.
Okay, that's great. Well, it's perfect because we're now ready for our break. So we'll take a small little break. This is Dr. Cheryl Silman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. We're talking about the answer to your prayers, a healthy sweetener. So stay tuned, and we're going to be telling you a lot more about the benefits of xylitol. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we're having a really important conversation with Dr. John Peldiak, who is a dentist who is really dedicated to finding healthy sweeteners to support our body's ability to heal and regenerate, especially our teeth and our oral cavity. He is the author of Sweet Smart, among the numerous articles that he has also written about dental health, and he is the founding member of the American Academy for Oral Systemic Health. Dr. Peldiak, tell us a little bit about the American Academy for Oral Systemic Health.
Well, certainly an organization whose time has come. We try to make the connection between oral health and general health. It goes in both directions, of course. Improved oral health, having good dental health, can benefit our overall health, including sugar control in diabetic patients. Their blood sugar control can improve just by a certain dental treatment. And it works the other way, too, that if we are diabetic, that can have some damaging effects on our oral health because of the extra sugar that shows up in the saliva. So we have to be careful in both directions. That's just an example of oral and systemic health. But lately, a lot of the emphasis has been on inflammation. And if our gums are inflamed, that's often reflected as a chronic inflammation that can exacerbate problems in our entire system. Some of the markers that we look for example, the C-reactive protein now associated with heart disease, and the glycated hemoglobin. In the blood test, it shows if your blood sugar has been elevated over a period of time. I know you're very interested in that sort of thing. Those improving oral health can improve those markers, which is really kind of surprising, but in a way, after you think about it, it sort of makes sense that if we can cool down the inflammation in the oral cavity, it affects our entire circulatory system. And it does work both ways. If we're inflamed in other parts of the body, if we're having hormonal issues, it can also affect our oral health. So we have to be even more careful with guarding the health of our teeth and gums.
That's great. You know, I think most of us don't appreciate that there is this profound connection. In fact, so many practitioners are really concerned about the state of our oral health because it is a risk factor for more chronic illnesses. So let's talk
about our oral
health.
Right. Our teeth and gums are a barrier. It's really from the outside to the inside. What's protecting us from it's if you know of a report on all the problems with leaky gut syndrome, for example. But what's the analogy in the mouth is gum disease. If we had an open sore the size of a credit card on our hand or forearm, we'd be shocked to see an open, oozing sore there. But that would be the equivalent area that we have if we have gum disease. So that's a portal. It's an entryway. It's a way for these toxins and these bacteria to get into our circulatory system. And now they, with the modern DNA typing, they have found some of these dangerous oral bacteria in heart lesions and in coronary lesions and also in as far as amniotic fluid, which can affect of course the preterm and birth and affect the health of our babies. So this is extremely important and it's becoming a little bit better known now, and if there's anything we can do to improve our oral health, it will help our entire system. This goes to the entire complex, the nose and the mouth, everything up there up front that we breathe and ingest is going to affect our overall health. So anything we can do to help prevent infections in this area and help reduce inflammation in this area will benefit our entire system.
You know, you've been doing a lot of work and research about the benefits of early xylitol use, and we're talking about early in our life, you know, even in the womb. So can you share more of the research that you're involved in?
I think this might be the most exciting area of xylitol research. We know xylitol works. Xylitol has great preventive benefit to help prevent tooth decay and improve the health of our gums. But the newer studies that were done over just the last 20 years now is really pointing to a new area, and that's how early do we want to begin xylitol? And I'd say it begins even before we're born. If mom is prepared properly even before pregnancy to have a healthy mouth, healthy teeth, healthy gums, this can help reflect health in her baby. For instance, tooth decay has been found to be an infectious disease. The bacteria that cause tooth decay can be transmitted mostly from mother to baby. That's where the baby gets the mouth germs initially. And if mom has a clean mouth, that does not harbor these harmful bacteria, chances are those types of bacteria will not colonize baby's mouth, and the baby will have long-term protection against tooth decay, even if only the mother uses xylitol in the tests that they've studied so far. When mother uses xylitol during pregnancy and after delivery, the baby gets the benefit because mother is transferring a harmless type bacteria to her baby. We all need bacteria. We don't live in a sterile bubble. We need bacteria, but we need the harmless or helpful kind, sort of the, what we refer to as the probiotic. Everybody recognizes the probiotic type bacteria in the guts, but in the digestive tract, but also now we need to think of probiotic bacteria in the oral cavity, and those are the types of bacteria that xylitol favors, and it helps block the harmful bacteria, which are the acid formers and the toxin formers. Those are the dangerous types that xylitol helps block their colonization in the baby early on. Just if mother uses xylitol, just transferring bacteria through food tasting, kissing, and contact, that sort of thing. If we can get this idea out that mom can use xylitol and help prevent tooth decay in her baby just by, for instance, chewing xylitol gum or using xylitol toothpaste and mouthwash, this can have profound benefits down the line.
Now, isn't there a connection between having a lot of the more acidic bacteria in the mouth and increased risk of miscarriage?
That's right. And that goes back to this inflammation idea that if the mother is inflamed, that it raises the amounts of some of these harmful chemicals, these inflammatory cytokines, and that can have a damaging effect on the developing baby. So if we can cool down the inflammation in the gums, all those will have that idea will have a positive effect. So these are big questions to be considered, and we're only really beginning to get into it now, but it all makes perfect sense that let's protect the health of mother during pregnancy and even after delivery when she would be transmitting her bacteria to the baby, and the baby can get off to a better start. Now, the other approach would be to use xylitol for the baby, and that's been done in several studies now also, where as soon as the baby teeth start coming in, the baby can get just very small amounts of xylitol. We're talking about a teaspoonful or less of xylitol per day. There's a brand new study that is just in from Finland where they used a xylitol liquid on the baby's teeth, just to swab it on with a Q-tip or brush it on as soon as the first teeth come in. And they virtually eliminated tooth decay in the baby teeth by doing this in the first 3 years of life, just by using a xylitol solution that they swabbed on the teeth, which is just remarkable and amazing. And plus, it's providing a tremendous benefit in long-term protection, because these once the teeth come in and if they're colonized by these harmful bacteria, you might be setting yourself up for a lifetime of problems with your teeth. But if you prevent, if you block that initial colonization by the harmful bacteria, the opposite is the benefit. You could have a long-term, maybe permanent benefits will derive from not having that initial colonization by harmful bacteria. So this is really a critical time that we're looking at now, just between the ages of 6 months and 3 years.
You know, I was astounded when I learned that if you really give your infants, toddlers, xylitol, which of course we have been saying is totally safe, but it actually is reducing the growth of the more dangerous form of bacteria that leads to dental decay, protects them and increases their protection for years, if not throughout their life.
It looks like from the follow-ups they've done on some of these studies, even 10 years later, the benefits remain. And the best benefits, and this is almost the total elimination of tooth decay, involve teeth that erupt, that come into the mouth while xylitol is being used. Because the theory on that is that the teeth that come into the mouth, that erupt into a clean environment, are going to have permanent protection against tooth decay because they will be colonized by the harmless bacteria, you might say the probiotic bacteria, and at the same time, xylitol acts as a carrier for calcium and minerals. I mentioned it was a smaller molecule. It gets into the tooth enamel better than other molecules do, and it helps carry calcium with it deeper into the tooth structure. So they're finding that these teeth are extremely well mineralized, and they have this long-term protection against tooth decay, and that's a really exciting finding.
You know, I know that there has also been some research going to the other end of our lifespan because they're looking at some work with seniors in nursing homes and what happens to these seniors when they don't look after their oral health and what happens when they do use xylitol products. Can you comment a little bit about that, John?
Oh, that's a great story, and we're so proud of some of our dental hygienists, Shirley Gutkowski and Angie Stone, for starting some of these programs using xylitol in nursing homes. And it's such a profound problem. One of the reasons we came up with using the xylitol gel in the first place was because we had some special needs patients that did not have any manual dexterity, and they could not brush or care for their own teeth. And what we found is that their caregivers are very squeamish about, for some reason, they don't like taking care of teeth. They're afraid to get in there. They're afraid that they might cause the gums to bleed. They're afraid that their clients will swallow toothpaste. And maybe some of these harmful chemicals will get into their system that they should be spitting out. So instead, we wanted to develop products that could be safe to swallow, that anybody could use, all the way from a little baby up to a senior or special needs patients that could not really control their swallow reflex very well. And what these hygienists, such as Angie Stone, have done is taken some of these xylitol products to nursing homes and said, look, these are safe to swallow. We can't get into any trouble using it. We can swab it on the teeth. Some of the clients can use the products themselves. And what they found was remarkable improvements in oral health just by using these tasty little xylitol candies and chewing gums and mints and some of the liquids or gels that can just be swabbed on the teeth, and you don't have to worry about them. If you swallow it, you can sip on tea with xylitol in it. You can use it in coffee. You can use it after meals. You can use it to hydrate the mouth, just to moisten the mouth. A lot of us adults have problems with dry mouth because the saliva tends to decrease with time, and that's made worse by all these prescription drugs, which has a side effect of drying out the mouth. And that's where we run into a lot of trouble with the adult population and the senior population. And these xylitol products are just perfect to improve that situation because they taste good, they moisten the mouth, they restore the minerals, and they block those harmful bacteria that might have a chance to reemerge when the saliva dries out, because saliva is our natural protection. We really need to honor and support our natural defenses, and that's what xylitol helps to do.
Well, you know, it sounds so amazing. So, is there anything else we need to mention? Because I want to recap everything you said so we can just go through a list.
It's just so easy. It's too simple, right? This can't be, it can't be possible. It's just too easy. And we're so frustrated trying to talk to people about it because sometimes that's the reaction you get. Say, no, that's too easy. That won't work. It's just too simple. But you look at some of these studies, and it is sort of mind-boggling to see that it does work so well. And especially in all these really difficult situations, because you say, okay, I've got a 10-month-old. What do I do for their teeth? And, well, xylitol is an answer. We have special needs patients that can't take care of their own teeth. What do? Well, we have xylitol. It's safe to swallow. We have the adult population with a dry mouth problem and receding gums. And what can you do for that? Well, xylitol really helps in that situation, too. How about braces? If you're wearing braces, you have all sorts of nooks and crannies for bacteria. They, oh, here's a place I can hide. Here's a place I can grow. And sometimes you can probably point to some terrible stories of when the braces came off, they found so many cavities or so many white spots on the teeth, decalcification. Say, well, we have orthodontists who are using xylitol routinely and reporting great results with their patients, that they're not having those problems anymore. So wherever you can point out a big dental problem, we can point out a place where xylitol can come in handy. And how about the rest of us? Let's say I don't have any dental problems. Well, I use xylitol anyway because it tastes good, and it's a good just substitute for some of these harmful sugars that I could be using instead. So it has just a number of benefits, and like I say, sometimes you're just frustrated. Why isn't this easier to understand or to report? Why can't we make some more sense of this and really make it an improvement in the health of our children and our entire population?
Yes, because the message is really clear. It's like sugar and these six carbon sugars, which that whole classification of different types of sugars, are harmful, especially in the amounts we're eating. There are no downsides from taking xylitol. And as you have done so brilliantly today, just sharing all the benefits, all of the many ways that our body can, that xylitol will support optimal health. Basically, that's what we're looking at. And there's a little saying that you have about strive for five as far as how much xylitol or what types we should be taking, how frequently. So do you just want to touch on strive for five as a rule of thumb for people who will benefit from xylitol?
Right. I discussed this with another prominent dental hygienist, Tricia O'Hare, who has O'Hare University for advanced degrees for dental hygienists. And we came up with this idea, strive for five. We're talking about five uses per day of xylitol is all it takes. And at the time we were talking, well, it only takes 5 grams, but just in easy terms, about a heaping teaspoon a day. So we say strive for five, and it's five carbon sugar alcohol, so that fits into that. And then also, if you chew gum, just chew it for 5 minutes. You don't need to chew any longer than that. So this whole idea of strive for five seemed to fit together. But five uses a day, which is very easy to accomplish. Just use a xylitol toothpaste and or mouthwash morning and night. There's two uses right there. And then three servings during the day. It could either be a spoonful in tea or coffee that you can sip on. It could be in chewing gum or mints, especially after meals and snacks is when xylitol will do the most good.
Okay. So, John, what about a website? Where can people go to get more information?
Well, we can go to xylitolinfo.org is a good website that has a lot of information about xylitol. We can go to clear.com. That's clear with an X as in xylitol, X-L-E-A-R.com. They can point you to a lot of good information and very good products that would have specific uses for xylitol, such as the oral care products and also the nasal care products with xylitol.
In fact, let's spell xylitol so people can really understand what to look for.
X-Y-L-I-T-O-L. So it's spelled with an X. So look for the X. And the clear is X-L-E-A-R, clear.com.
So I use xylitol in my Strive for Five strategy, because I actually use xylitol toothpaste, and then I use a xylitol mouthwash, And then I have xylitol gum, especially after meals. And I know there were studies done with children who took xylitol mints after meals, wasn't there? I think that was was done many years ago.
Well, the original xylitol studies that were done in Finland, this is really fascinating, is they took all the sugar, all the accessible sugar out of the diet and replaced it with xylitol. So, and over a period of at least 2 years, some of the volunteers went on a 7-year xylitol diet because they wanted to see if there were any metabolic changes. And basically these were healthy young adults, and there were no significant metabolic changes. The xylitol group did gain a little less weight than the normal diet group. But the amazing finding was that tooth decay virtually stopped. In fact, by the end of the 2 years, they had more reversals of tooth decay than new decay forming. So it was a negative tooth decay rate. And they said this was impractical because they're using so much xylitol that it was very expensive at the time. They said that's not practical. But what would be practical? Well, how about if we put xylitol in chewing gum and just gave a tiny amount of xylitol, but use it just after meals and snacks? And the results as far as tooth decay are concerned were almost identical. In other words, you don't need to use large amounts of xylitol for dental benefits, just the small amounts in divided servings. We like to say the 5 servings per day, but at least 3 servings per day to get the optimum benefits. And they used it in the form of chewing gum. Again, very small amounts, the equivalent of about a heaping teaspoon per day, and got almost no new tooth decay in the xylitol group. So that was the amazing finding from that, and that opened the door to using xylitol in all oral care products.
And fortunately, xylitol is showing up in more products. It's sweet. It's used as a sweetener and in baked goods and whey protein powders and in candy, cookies, and chewing gum, like you said. So it's great. It's making its way into our food options, and I just want people to really understand why this is a phenomenal answer. I call it the answer to our prayers, because you can have your healthy sweetener and eat it as much as you want to,
That's right, and for dental benefits, as I said, you just need very small amounts, but in divided servings, especially after meals and snacks. If you want to use larger amounts of xylitol, know that you can blend xylitol with other sweeteners, that it will reduce the overall calorie amount and the blood sugar effect of other sweeteners. So it will have a nice effect there, and it will also lower the tooth decay potential of other sweeteners when you mix them together. But the very best effects as far as dental health is concerned is to use pure xylitol immediately after meals and snacks, or with toothpaste and mouthwash. So look for high content xylitol product. It doesn't need a lot of xylitol, but ideally it would be 100% sweetened with xylitol, that there would be no other sweeteners to mix with it for the best dental benefits.
Well, this has been so enlightening. I just really appreciate your tremendous amount of passion for the subject, your research, the knowledge you have. John, it's been a great show, and I hope everyone has really gotten the message that xylitol is the way to go for, as a healthy sweetener, but for benefits that we've been talking about. So thank you so much, John. You've just been a great guest today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Selman. I hope we have a chance to talk again before too long.
I'm sure we will. And you have a great day. And to all my listeners, thank you for joining in. You've been listening to a great conversation with Dr. John Peldiek, who is a very dedicated dentist who's spreading the word about the benefits of xylitol. And remember, I'm going to be lecturing May 11th in New York City at the Natural Gourmet Institute on women's health, everything you need to know and what to do to get yourself back in balance. So hope to see you there. And remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.